Oli Pop Rock Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hickson Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Hey, I am super excited tonight. We've got a fantastic guest on with us. He is just, I don't know, cool, turned up to 10. He's a filmmaker. He's a musician. He's from my home state of Southeast Michigan there. And I was boring him with tales of how things used to be down there in the back in the day when I was a youngster. And he's very respectful of his elders because he didn't even say, shut up, Jamie. He's super cool, super nice. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Jay Crimson, filmmaker, musician extraordinaire. How you doing there, Jay?
Good. How the hell are you, dude?
I am doing great. I'm super excited. I didn't mean to wax nostalgic before we came on camera, but man, I tell you, it's funny. My wife's always bugging me. She goes, you have all these stories about growing up there and we never go. I want you to take, I'm like, I'm not taking you to Detroit. Are you kidding me? No, I love you. No, it's not going to happen. And all of my friends that still live there are like, Jamie, shit's fine. There's hipster stores downtown where you used to live and stuff. I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, but you can still get a Coney dog? I'm like, yes, of course.
That's right. Yes, you can.
That's right. Oh, man. That was the day. Back in the day. That's what we lived on. Anyway, very cool, man. Very cool. So you grew up in Michigan.
Yep. Grew up in St. Clair County, pretty much St. Clair,
nice.
The town. And not St. Clair Shores.
No.
St. Clair, right by the water. Yeah. And 45 minutes north of Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Yep. In between Detroit and Port Huron. The water there, the cool thing, there's a, I don't know what it's called. I don't know if it's still considered Lake St. Clair or what, but it's a mile wide or something. It's like a river almost. You can see Canada on the other side. But one of the coolest things is the spring breakup of the ice, because everybody's ice. How exciting can that be? I'm like, you have no idea of the power and weight until you've seen like an actual ice flow breakup of big time water. It is crazy powerful.
I love being down by the water, man. It's real peaceful. The older I get, the more I appreciate that kind of shit.
Oh, I'm telling you. Now, we actually had, I grew up in New Baltimore, technically, before I moved down to the city, which for those who don't know, if you want to look it up on a map, it's just past Mount Clemens and all that shit. We were known, we had a festival every year. I don't know if they still do it, but it was called the Fish Fly Festival. Do you guys get the fish flies up there in where you're at?
Ooh.
Are they bad?
We get fish flies. Yeah, we get them bad. When I worked at Speedy Q, the gas station right there right almost to Marine City. Yeah, they get all over the, like a wall. People open them up. They'd fly in.
Oh, yeah. And they, people
just
don't
tell
know,
them, hey, they're, welcome to the Fish Fly Emporium.
It's imagine snow like this or even higher of moving insects. They look like little miniature dragonflies. They have no mouths. They can't bite you. But yeah, they are, people getting wrecks on, they did, the roads and stuff, sliding on them. It was insane. My sister, who might be listening to this will bring you back, Lori, if you was in the fish fly pageant. She was the fish fly queen, if memory serves me right. I don't know
Excellent.
If she was the queen, but she was definitely, I think she was definitely in the pageant, the Miss Fish Fly. They had the carnival, would roll through town, and they would have fish fly games and stuff. Midwest America, folks, that's what people do, that kind of crazy shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We have here, I live in a little beach town. It's between Boca Raton and north of Fort Lauderdale here on the Atlantic Ocean side. And our little festival that they have here are called Pioneer Days. I don't think there was ever a pioneer that was here. If they came down here, there were alligators and mosquitoes. I don't know why they would come down here and no air conditioning. But the last time me and my wife went, I think it was last year, and we were walking around looking at the art setups. Oh, should we get a booth next year? One of those. No, I don't want to do it. I'd have to paint a button. Only art people are buying here is lighthouses. You know what I mean? I would want to paint. Yeah. I would want to do a painting of that woman that got ate by the shark when they find her on the beach in Jaws, when all the crabs are on her and she's half in. That would be a cool painting I would paint. But it would
that be, would be badass.
Yeah, the That'd people would run screaming out of the Pioneer. It wouldn't work. But my observation on our Pioneer Festival is the majority of people there look like they might have been actual pioneers from an age standpoint. They look at me and they're like, look at this young teen here. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's you're old. You're real old. But yeah, every little place has their thing, and good for them. It's something to do. So you grew up in St. Clair, which is very cool, man. I knew, you know, there's a lot of gals that wore sunglasses at night, spiked high heels, and smoked a lot, lived up in that neck of the woods when I was in high school. That was back in the day. Big hair, and they were pretty fast up there. I loved them. They were fantastic. How did you know when you were a youngster? Because you're a double threat. You're making indie films and music. Did you know showbiz was in your bones? That's what you were going to be doing?
Oh, yeah. From ever since Batman, little kid, I'm just wearing capes. I'm jumping off the furniture. Yeah, I knew since then.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that horror would have such a big impact on me as a child until I watched the first Halloween movie, 79. Yeah. And yeah, oh my, or 78. 78. First Halloween came out in 78 or 79?
Yeah, 78, I think.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. And just scared the shit out of me.
Oh, as absolutely. A kid.
The shadows, him carrying the girl, little boy seeing it through the window. It was just, because I could relate to the kid.
Oh, yeah?
The shadows.
Yeah.
I just seen shadows everywhere in my house from that moment forward. But
and there were some things.
I flipped it when I got older.
You thought we're going to go a different way. Remember when the bullies tripped him and he smashed his pumpkin and shit? And then Mike Myers is there, and you're like, "Oh shit, he's gonna eat these kids, these bullies." And I want the comeuppance, and we didn't get it. You know what I mean? There was like,
nope.
God damn. Yeah, but him just standing there was terrifying.
Foreshadowing.
He just
was foreshadowing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. That, and I tell you, when they, oh yeah, the abandoned house where the murders. Let's hang out in here and wait for him. And they go in, and the dog, he had eaten part of the dog. And it was, you know what? Yes, spoilers, folks. If you haven't seen fucking Halloween, would it come out 50 years ago? Jesus. Here, I'll spoil another one for you real quick. Titanic doesn't end well.
No.
I'm saying.
If you haven't seen that, hit yourself with a tack hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Tommy Boy style.
I'm telling you. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that was horror. The interesting thing about horror is I started painting horror paintings because I got sick of painting Marilyn Monroe, to be honest with you. You can only paint James Dean so many times, mm-hmm. and you're like, God damn, I need something. Can he be holding a hatchet? We got to do something here, you know what I mean? Just to keep my sanity. And I'll tell you, it was the crash. I'm not going to get political, I promise you, folks, but it was the recession of 2008 to 2010. People weren't even buying Marilyn Monroe paintings in those days. So I wasn't constrained by, I've got to paint what people were buying, because people, they were stocking canned food and shotgun shells. Fancy art was a low priority for the majority of people during that time. And so I was able to paint whatever I wanted. And at the time, I was renting a room from this crazy couple in mid-Michigan, in the Saginaw area. My dad was sick, so I had moved. I knew it was only going to be a matter of a couple months, maybe at the most, but I wanted to be there when the end came, or at least close by. So but they were big. They were crazy horror people, and they were annoying to watch a horror movie with, because they're like, that guy's spleen didn't explode. You know, what the hell? I'm like, how do you know what a spleen looks like? I couldn't even find one. Are you kidding me? But we were watching Walking Dead. This was when Walking Dead premiered. That was on AMC.
Okay.
So it's that time different. But all they watched were horror movies. And so I'm watching all these horror movies with them. And stuff. And yeah, I had my own TV and I had my own setup and everything, but I hung out with them because somebody to hang out with. And so I started painting a lot of fucking zombies and stuff because why not? That's what I was immersed in. And believe it or not, come to find out, there's a lot of people that dig horror art. And even in my pop art style, they like it. And I'm like, I remember painting, I painted little Gage with the truck coming down on him from Pet Cemetery. That's a terrible idea for a painting. Nobody wants to hang that over the piano. That thing sold in 22 minutes. It was like super quick.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, I guess they do. And I was talking to somebody and they said, yeah, Jamie, you got to understand, there's not a lot of that shit out there. You know what I mean? They live for this kind of stuff. They'll sit down and watch horror movies for 6 hours straight. They love it. And I'm like, okay, sounds good to me. That's another market. So yeah, today even I still do, but I get it. And it seems to be a lot of people from the Midwest. So it doesn't surprise me that you would start making, but we're going to play the trailer for Lilith here in a minute. Actually, a couple films and Green Hill, a film by Jay Crimson. We're going to play both of those trailers, but I was watching the other day and I was thinking about this. I was watching the trailer for Lilith and I'm like, this is half-ass artsy fartsy, really. This is very surreal. There's a lot of cool artsy imagery. I could see this definitely be playing at art festivals in like Boston or New York or something. This lends itself to that scene. So
cool.
Very artsy. I was very surprised because usually it's a found footage film and there's some zombies and maybe a ghost. Usually it's a witch. I've seen so many permeations of the Blair Witch Project. It's because it's a good setup. Oh, found footage? Yeah, here we go. But it's really cool. I dig your work, man. I dig your work. I was very surprised that it wasn't just straight horror. And maybe it is. Maybe I'm just looking at it through artsy glasses or some shit. But it definitely seemed artsy fartsy to me. Not overly artsy. Folks, you're not going to watch this film. I didn't get the impression that you need to put your pinky out and pour yourself a nice Chianti, unless you're eating it with some fava beans. But it just was surprising. I was pleasantly surprised with that.
I'm glad to hear that. My original thought on a film was I wanted it to be a hybrid, but not a hybrid like a modern hybrid. More something from the 80s or 90s. That has stop motion in it, claymation in it.
Yeah.
And I hired a handful of artists to work on this, and they really came through. Me and Justin Squires of Dark Forest Media, who also worked with me on Green Hell, he has come up with some of the coolest stuff. We had an editing session today, and we're coming up with the idea for the official poster for it. Because I've had some rough ideas I've posted up and stuff, but this one's going to be the official poster, and it'll probably switch one more time with an official date.
Yep.
As we get closer. But Stephen Code, or he goes by Jelly Eyes on Instagram. He is the claymation king right now. And his style is so 80s. It's not super brushed up, and I appreciate that. I like the roughness of it all. The gritty factor in a claymotion is out of this world. And I wanted to add to the creep factor. In this movie, there's more to the haunt factor in her getting to the more violent parts. Which I will say that James Bell from Utica, Michigan, he in very fine crap videos, that's his tagline, that's his brand, but he sold me some cool prosthetics,
nice.
Fake face, eyeballs. Blood pump and stuff. So I'm thankful to James Bell. He goes to a lot of the festivals and sells his stuff that he makes with his wife. But Stephen Code and Tuppa Tuppa Video, those two, they made some cool videos for this project. And I'm very appreciative and thankful that they collaborated with me on Lilith. It's going to be a fun watch. Disturbing, gross, hallucinogenic, creepy horror film.
Folks, watch. That sounds to me like something you... We have, me and my wife, more so me, I'm an ex-club rat. I spent 30 years hanging out in discotheques all over the world. Not because I'm cool, but because that's where the people that would buy my paintings hung out. And I was trying to make a living. But I'm retired of that now. I don't go to... People always ask me, my old club friends are like, "What? You live in by Miami. Why aren't you going to all the clubs?" I'm like, dude, I've got a wife. That's how you lose a wife, hanging out in nightclubs. I'm not doing that. And I'm old. I like to sit down when I go out. Buy a VIP table is expensive at these clubs. I am too cheap for that. And I like to sit.
Right on.
And plus, when you're my age, the only reason an old guy should ever be in a club is if he owns the club. That's otherwise, you're just an old guy looking at 20-year-old girls. It's
right.
It's not a good formula. It's not a good look on anybody.
Not a good look.
No, I never want to be that guy. But anyway, we have a lot. We do have a lot of get-togethers. We got a cool pad. Have it all set. Yes, I will admit my backyard looks like a cross between a hippie garden and a nightclub. It does. But we're set up to have events, people. We got a lot of friends. But I always have. I got an 80-inch TV in the back there, and I like to have something visual on the screen during the party. And it stops wannabe would-be DJs trying to take over and play shit music that nobody wants to hear because there's no control to it. The remotes go in a little box that only I know where it's at. Anyhow, this sounds like the type of film that I would play at one of my events just because it's cool. It's very cool. And I'll tell you, people used to shy away from the, you don't want it to be too gross out. And you know what I'll say to that? Fallout on Amazon Prime proved that theory wrong last year. Obviously, people like people getting stabbed in the face with a fork. They dig it. Nobody turned away from that. Nobody. I don't know anybody who watched that series that went, oh my, that's a little too violent and rough for me. We live in a violent, rough world, man. And yes, people want to escape from that, but they want to be familiar with what they're escaping to. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have some girlfriends of ours that they're always on us to watch The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. And I always say, no, I'm not interested. I read the book in college and I live in the world. It's a little too close to home. When I'm entertained, I want to escape a little bit. I like a dystopian movie. Don't get me wrong. But
I'm here. I feel that.
I don't want it to be too close to Jesus Christ. It's just, but I think you're right. I think you're really onto something that people do have an interest. Fuck, I live 3 hours south of Disney World. And they'll tell you, people like a roller coaster. They like to be scared. They like that adrenaline pumping through them.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it's still the same way. It's been a long time. But when I was a kid and you were out on a date, you took her to see a horror film. That's where you took her to see. If you wanted a kiss, that's where you went. If you took her to see The Notebook, you might wind up braiding each other's hair. Or that's what she would expect. But I didn't take any girls to see those kind of movies. I was smart about it. Let me put it this way, folks. You ever seen the Thriller video? Even Michael Jackson knew to take his gal to a horror movie.
Sir.
That's just common stuff. Anyway. But in addition to film, because we're gonna delve into film here, but you also are in a band. Tell us about the band.
Okay, so I'll start from the beginning when it comes to my musical past. So I played drums in death grind band called God is Stoned from about 2002 to about 2005-ish.
Wow.
I think I'm right there. If my bass player was here, he'd be like, no, I should. But yeah, it was pretty fun. I knew that I had a love-hate relationship with the drum set from the get-go, and we were all playing mismatched of what we really wanted to play. I wanted to be a front man. Bass player wanted to play guitar. Bass player from the later bands was the singer, and it's funny. But we got it right in 2009. Me and two of the same guys were in No Class Assassins, and that band was 2009 to 2020. and we opened up for Gwar. We opened up for Misfits.
Cool is that?
And to say Goat Whore, Suicide Silence. We won awards. We played Warped Tour 2010. And then we eventually split, or we're on an indefinite hiatus, as bands come to say. I started Chemical Valley Mutants for my interest in hardcore punk in 2022, about September, until present. We played the Schwank Soundstead in Port Huron, which is a home venue, and it's badass. It's an old house, and they turned it into a recording studio / venue. And it's one of those cool punk rock places, homegrown punk rock place. And so far, that show, and we have opened up for Cancer Slug last February, which has the dude from Doyle's band from the Misfits. They're called Doyle.
Yeah. Nice.
And yeah, that's the coolest stuff we've done so far when it comes to gigs and whatnot. But we jam, we love jamming. These are the oldest guys I've jammed with, except for the drummer. He's the youngest. But the older guys, oh yeah, they just pick it up and get right to it. It doesn't take much.
And there's not a lot of, when you're, I've hung out with so many bands my whole life, really, because they're just cool. They're cool people. And they understand, they get what I'm doing, and I steal a lot of ideas. A lot of people are very surprised when they go to one of my art shows and there's a merch table. They're like, merch table? What? You're a painter. What are you? I'm like, yeah. Every band I've ever seen had a merch table. And why am I just trying to sell a $500, $1,000 painting when I can sell a shit ton of buttons or shirts? Or I'll take that money as well. No problem. You know what I mean? And I learned that from hanging out with bands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just, it's smart business people usually. But yeah, the problem is when you get new bands, and there's nothing wrong with new bands. I'm not talking about talent or I'm talking about wisdom, not knowledge, wisdom. You'll never see a band of a certain age. He might bring his wife. He may bring his girlfriend to rehearsal, but they aren't going to have ideas. They aren't going to try to have input. I've seen a lot of 20-year-old musicians bring their girl. Bridget was thinking, maybe you should do this change up here. And I'm like, okay, that band, I give it a month. It ain't going to work. It didn't work for the Beatles. It ain't going to work for your garage band. That's all I'm saying.
There was a lot of talk like that when in No Class Assassins, I'll tell you that, especially in the earlier days. And when we wanted to play out, like out of state, oh, forget about it. But yeah, I had a podcast too, the Crimson Cult podcast.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah, I've done YouTube. A few. How cool!
I've done a few of them. Yeah, I interviewed Keith Morris. I interviewed Ari Lehman. I interviewed C.J. Graham. Let's see, who else did I interview? I interviewed an archbishop who did real exorcisms.
What?
It was.
Oh, cool! We are definitely going to talk because I want the archbishop on my show. Yeah, anybody I've had on my show or whatever, let me know and I'll introduce you. And people are desperate to be on podcasts and get the word out for their projects, whatever. When I started out, when I started doing ours was an audio only show until last September, I think, maybe July, but I think it was September. My wife and everybody ground me down to do a video. I didn't know how to do video. Never worked with video, really. But audio I have down. Been doing that since 2013. When I first started doing it, I'm like, I know all these famous people that have been on shows and movies and shit. I'll just have them as guests. And that worked great for about a month and a half. Then I ran out of guests. And I'm like, I don't have any more famous people. Where am I going to get guests? And I'd only done 40 shows or something. And so I didn't have a track record. So and here's a big secret for those out there looking for guests for podcasts. I'm sure it would still work. I went on, what's the crowdfunding, the big Kickstarter. I went on Kickstarter and would scroll through Kickstarter, find something cool, and then email them and say, hey, I've got this little podcast. You want to come on and talk about your Gniptonop or whatever? And they're like, yeah. Filled up my guest slots.
Oh, hell yeah.
And cool. Yeah, I don't know why more people don't do that because it's easy booking guests. It's no big deal. things change when you hit that 1,000 mark. Then all of a sudden, guys in suits start messaging you. The phone, they answer the phone. It's amazing. And everything changes. But I get people ask me all the time. They're like, how do we get advertisers? And so I'm like, do 1,000 podcasts. That's what you got to do. You got to build up to it. And they're like, yeah, it takes a long time, Jamie. What are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, you could become a doctor in the same amount of time it takes to do that. It's like bands with music. You really want to do so. You got to build that shit up.
I did a podcast with Lloyd Kaufman of Troma. And after we talked, that's how I got into the Troma world. And that's how Green Hell, The Witch, and Crickets in the Snow, as well as three of my No Class Assassins videos are up on Troma now.
Nice.
A streaming service.
That's what I try to tell these youngsters, people new into this scene, creative types, network your ass off, because you never know where it'll lead. You never know. People make fun of me because I go to all these film festivals and shit. And I tell all my musician friends, I'm like, I've never seen a movie without music. You go spend the $20, have some business cards made so you look somewhat fucking presentable, professional, and network the best you can. I've met people, and notable people, that in the business that I never thought I'd hear from again. And then 7 months later, the phone starts ringing and there's work behind it. And I'm like, holy shit. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the checks are big. Yeah, it definitely works out. I'm so glad to meet you in person, Jay, because you and I are a very similar mindset. I don't know if it's the Michigan water with the lead in it or whatever, but it's working for us. You know what I mean?
Speaking of.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's terrible. None of those little kids should have been drinking out of fucking lead pipes. Are you crazy? But
yeah, that's more the Flint way. Yeah. But everything, man. Feel bad for them all. Sucks. Everyone could do.
You know what's weird about that scene in Flint is it's right next to Frankenmuth, and Frankenmuth is like, there's gazillionaires live in Franken. They heat the sidewalks in the winter underneath so they don't have to shovel them. And then you go 10, 15 miles east or west. And it's drinking bottled water still. It's crazy. But Michigan's always been like that. You go to Grosse Pointe, you can definitely tell when you drive out of Grosse Pointe into Detroit. Things change quick. If you go across the bridge to Windsor, I remember, and again, I won't wax the whole episode, folks. But I'll just tell you, I remember being in Detroit. The snow was coming. The snow was a lovely tan color that day from the incinerator in the center of the city. And I was going over to Windsor. I went over the bridge, and because I don't trust the tunnel. Every time I went through the tunnel, I saw it leaking. And I'm like, this ain't good. I don't want to be in here when it finally goes. It's not going to go. It's fine. But I didn't want to risk it. So I went over the bridge, and it was like going into a Snow White movie. I go over there, and birds are chirping, and kids are playing and laughing, and I look over my shoulder at Detroit, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, it looks like Beirut over there. It was, whew. Michigan's full of that, though. It's full of that.
Michigan's very bipolar.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all bipolar bears.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what it is. People get bottled up so much in the winter, they go a little crazy.
Yeah, I love winter.
I do too.
I like the fall. I'm a hoodies and shorts guy.
Absolutely. Here, where I live, it's just, there's no, the seasonal change is when the old snowbirds come and go. That's, and I'm not talking about real people or real birds people, but people. That's how you can tell. The palm trees don't turn colors. It's very weird. It almost drives you crazy in the opposite way. But yeah, that's cool, man. And you're meeting these people. You're doing we will add the podcast link. There's all these clickable links down in the description, everybody. Let's start out. I think the way to do it is to start out. What do you want to do first? Green Hill trailer, a J. Crimson film, Green Hill. We don't want to get confused with the other one. Or Lilith. The trailer for Lilith. What should we play first?
Let's play the old one first. Let's play Green Hill.
Okay, folks. Here it is. the trailer for the film Green Hill, a Jay Crimson film.
Dave, Kelly.
And we're back, folks. We're back. That was Green Hill, a Jay Crimson film. And the reason I'm saying that is we were talking before we came on the mic, and Jay informed me. He goes, yeah, he goes, what happens sometimes? There was another film that came out, and Jay had to have a Detroit conversation with him involving a baseball bat with nails. And no, I'm kidding. But yeah, we don't want him to get confused. Green Hill, very cool. Now, let me ask you, as an artist, a creative, I hate the term content creator, because what is that? Everybody does it. And I think you're making a movie. It's a little different than a YouTube short. Come on, you're not in the same category. But when you come up with an idea like Green Hill, where does it, is it always different? Or do you just, majority of my ideas for paintings and stuff, I'm a morning person. When I wake up, it's like the computer's been defragged and everything. Is going. I never come up with ideas at 10 o'clock at night. It's always in the morning for me. How about you? Are you in the shower? Hmm. Are you in the car?
Let's see. So my peak of motivation for filming is definitely nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a night owl. When, you know, the heart rates are down, you can really think, at least for me anyways, maybe some marijuana was smoked.
Nice.
Maybe some mushrooms were ate. Actually, speaking of such, that I think would be a good addition. Those should collab with Lilith.
I gotcha.
Yeah. It would be a good thing to consume before you watch it. Very trippy. But Green Hell with Green Hell, it was practice, but it was also a labor of love. It was also just fun to hang out with your friends and create something wild. Strange, something you might not ever seen before. The sex scene in that movie, I built the whole movie around the sex scene. I was like, what would be an excuse to see such a thing? So I wrote the movie around that, and that's how that one came to be, with a few things here and there, creative type of experimental things. But that movie was big experimental, and everybody had fun. We don't hang out anymore. Same circle of friends, because that's how life is. Life changes you. And we filmed that in 2006 and up until probably 2008. But we didn't release it, me and Justin, until 2013. Yeah, then I just started doing music, a lot of music. Not really too much video stuff going on. And then when No Class went on their indefinite hiatus sort of things, I decided to make another film and start a punk band. And my workplace screwed me over. The gas station I was working at took me to court for $27 not being in the till. Jeez. Thanks a lot, Speedy Q.
That's fucking Michigan. That is mid.
I had that in my damn pocket. I had it in my damn pocket. But third boss in, what are you going to do?
I'm telling you, I worked at a Total Gas station. I don't even know if they're still around, but it was called Total Gas, and it was a chain gas station, and I was the night shift guy, because I liked working nights, and...
Me too.
That was an interesting job. But yeah, I finally got fired from that. It's the only job I've ever been fired from, and I didn't know that they had put cameras in, and I got robbed. Guy came in Christmas Eve, pointed a gun at me, give me the, and I said, look, and he goes, but here's where I got fired. Not that I gave him money is out of the till. I didn't open it safe. It wasn't anything that cool. He said, I need you to go in the back because he didn't want me to see which way he was leaving in his car. And I said, look, dude, it's Christmas Eve. If I go in the back, store policy is we have to do a complete inventory then. And I got a date at midnight. I was working an afternoon shift for Christmas Eve. I said, I got a date at midnight. I don't want to call her and tell her I can't make it because I got to be here counting Twix candy bars and shit. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes. I don't care. This is all insured anyway. What? I don't give a shit. I was making $4 an hour then, or $4.25 an hour. I'm like, I don't care. I care about keeping my date tonight. Merry Christmas. And he left. He was cool with it. And I waited 5 minutes before I called it in. I'm a man of my word. But it was all on camera. That whole exchange was on. They had a recording of it.
Oh, no. That's pretty funny,
and they're like,
though.
Okay, you're out of here, mullet head.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It wasn't the end-all, be-all. That was funny. The job I got after that was working for Nationwide Security. I got a job as a security guard. And
oh, my.
On Van Dyke, they had the Tankcom factory. This is a factory, ladies and gentlemen, where they built tanks for the military. And the guy who let the thief go from Total Gas, and I told them all this at the interview. They still made me a security guard. They thought I was good enough for that. And they left me in charge of the tank factory with tanks, with keys in and the code on how to start a tank. It's the only time I've ever driven a tank. Nobody knew about it, but it was there is all I'm saying.
Sweet.
Yeah, they left me there by myself in charge. Okay.
People, right?
Yeah. I worked there in Holly Carburetor. Yeah, Holly was okay. It was, you had to make key rounds. You had to walk, set your alarm to wake up and then go make your round. You weren't supposed to be sleeping, but that's what we all did. But yeah, gas station work sucks. Any job you have when you're a kid like that, they just look for, because there's 10,000 other kids like your age that they can replace you with. They don't give a shit. They don't. And the weird thing is you'll get those weird bosses at those jobs that are real gung-ho about the company. It's Jesus Christ. Why are you jumping up and down for Ponderosa Steakhouse, man? You ever notice those people? You come across, they're usually a manager position. And I never got it. But anyhow, maybe that's why we're self-employed now, Jay. You know what I mean? Maybe that's the reason. Just because if you have a little bit of brains, it's hard to be motivated working some of those things. But anyway.
Yeah, anyway. That's for sure.
That's cool, man. You know what, though? I bet that led to other stuff. It probably sucked at the time. They tried to take you to court. Like, jail? They wanted to put you in jail or some shit? Or was it just...
I got an embezzlement charge.
Jesus Christ. What are you in for, kid?
For the
embezzlement. And genocide. Oh, okay. Leave them alone.
What did you get away with? $27, and it wasn't even mine.
Yeah, exactly. Just fucking...
I didn't even have it.
Insane.
Third boss.
I can't believe
3 years, you're out of there. Hence our song, Speedy Q.
We don't have them here, but I remember seeing them. Oh, that's great. That's great.
There's about 26, 27 of them in Michigan.
Yep. We have a racetrack. It's the same exact setup, but they're called racetracks. Probably the same company. I'm sure it is.
Cooler name.
I don't know. I've watched a lot of car races. I guess they do get filled up and the pit stop. They got to gas them up, but I don't see the driver get out and do it himself and get a big soda, styrofoam soda. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Working that. Oh, that was it. I used to have he was unhoused, as they say today, but his house was his car. He lived in his car. And in Michigan, Jay will tell you, you can collect cans. I don't know if you still can. You used to be able to collect cans, and you turn them in to get the deposits back on them. 10 cents a can
still
in
can.
A bottle. Yeah, it was great. So this guy would come visit me. I'd always give him a free cup of coffee, somebody to bullshit with for a little bit. And he would look through all the, he started looking through all the trashes out by the pumps for cans. And I said, hey, I gave you the free cup of coffee. Here's some liners. Just take the, you keep all the cans you want, but swap out the trash while you're doing this shit. Because it was something I didn't have to do then.
Yep.
And he did that. It turned into, he would stick check the tanks, take those big sticks and see where we're at.
Oh, yeah.
Fill out the fucking clipboard, the whole thing. I didn't do shit at that store. I had him doing all that stuff, but what can you do? But yeah, that's working at the gas station.
Working at the gas station.
God.
I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it, actually.
Jay, off camera, I've got some stories of some untoward stories of gals I met working at that gas station, but I don't want to say it during the show. All kinds of adventures of working at the gas station. Amazing. Amazing. Anyhow. Yeah, very cool. Do you want to do a track? We should do a track next. Just play a couple tracks, and then we'll close out with a Lilith trailer. How's that sound?
Cool. Yeah, they're shorter tracks. Short, quick, to the point.
Yeah.
Hardcore punk.
Hardcore punk. That's what it is. What should we start out with first? Which one do you think?
Let's do Vigilante.
Okay, Vigilante. Here it is, folks. This is Chemical Mutant. What is it?
It's Valley Mutants.
Chemical Valley Mutants. That's what it is. That's what it is. This is Vigilante. Check this out.
Oh, shucks. We got it.
Put their hands on us, you know. All right, thank you.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, there it was, Vigilante's Chemical Valley Mutant. I don't know why I was forgetting the valley in that before you played it, but I'll never forget it now. That's a cool name too. That is a cool name. What were you watching, a movie or something? Where did that come from?
They consider the Sarnia water all like across from Sarnia.
Uh-huh.
Because you can see Canada from the boardwalk here.
Yeah.
And they consider it all Chemical Valley because of all of the factories and all of the pollution and all that. So we're the mutants of that whole waterway.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I was watching, that reminds me, I was watching one of these, because I watch it. I'm just like you, Jay. I'm sure you watch this shit too. They were talking about all these unexplained shit, weird shit videos, I call them. And they were saying in Detroit, and in especially Windsor, the people are suffering. They're hearing this hum and they can't get away from it. It's driving them crazy and everything. And there's this government facility on what they call Tug Island, and it's down there by Belle Isle or someplace south of Detroit. But it's like you're saying, a big chemical industrial area. And they think there's a secret government base. I don't know. playing a giant kazoo or something that's making this hum, but it's driving everybody crazy. And they won't let anybody in there into that facility to, and who knows? Hey, I used to joke about the government reading my email, and then WikiLeaks happened and Snowden, and turns out they were. So I personally feel bad. Anybody who's monitoring who messed up and got the job of having to read my emails or listening to my phone, they're like, Jesus, what's he doing? There's a new bushcraft video he's watching with his dog. They think they would actually survive in the frozen wilderness and would be fine. But yeah, this is hour three of that while he's sketching something. I feel bad for those people because we are bored. If our house was haunted, Jay, the ghost would be like, buy some new magazines or something. I'm sick of watching the same shows. And your wife isn't any better. My wife is addicted to these. She calls them, I thought they were soap operas, but she calls them Korean dramas. I'm like, it's a soap opera in Korea.
Oh my.
And she's not Korean, but she loves them. I don't watch that shit, but she doesn't watch my bushcraft videos either. And she usually has something negative to say to me and the dog when she sees us watching them. You guys wouldn't make it. There's no way. You'd wind up in a hotel. What's wrong with you? I'd come take your Indian card. Jesus. I think we'd be okay, dear. I think we'd be okay. Anyway, no, but that's cool. I didn't know that. Because Sarnia and all that, it's beautiful up there. I'm surprised there's not resorts and shit built up there. Because it's physically beautiful. You don't see, it ain't Bubbly Creek, Chicago, where you see crazy acid foam in the waterway there or something.
Right, not quite like that. No. I've heard it's one of the higher cancer rates in the world.
Wow, I had no idea. It doesn't look it.
No, it doesn't look that bad. Well, the lights, I love that, looking over.
I'm telling you, when I first saw Chemical Valley Mutants, the visual image that came into my mind was the guy who fell in RoboCop, who fell into the vat of waste and then got hit by the car. Remember him?
Help me.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe that's just mutants, because I also think of the Gunslinger Stephen King book, where it's the new mutants. Maybe they just call them mutants. But yeah, they're described as that same type of deal. But you guys have...
Yeah, I always...
Go ahead.
I always think of the turtles.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Exactly.
And we also we stand very strongly against child abuse and child predators and things of the sort, and that lovely P word that we won't dare say.
Yeah.
But we're big against that, and our music video for Vigilante is from Dads Against Predators.
Nice.
And Josh from Dads Against Predators said, go ahead, look through our videos and take whatever footage you might want, and we put it to the song, and it's getting up there in views. But that's something I'm against.
Absolutely.
Hashtag the Crimson Cult.
Yeah, that's one of those things with the limits. I am pretty freewheeling. People are like, you're a tree hug. Yeah, I'm a painter, of course. But there's certain things that I am just, if you're messing with kids or animals, turn in your human being card, because you're not one anymore. You need to be shot out of a cannon into a wall, and we can all move on with our day.
That is correct.
It is just, it's one of those weird things that I can't even wrap my head around. I can't even imagine. That's a lot of things, though. There's a lot of things. There used to be a show on HBO called Real Sex, and they'd always have these weird people into weird stuff.
Yep.
Some woman, I'm attracted to clowns. And there was a whole thing of people that dressed up as clowns and met each other and did the deed. And I'm like, what happened to you in your life that you're like, I was at the circus one day, and I'm thinking, clowns, yeah, that's got to be it for me. And I'm not judging. I'm not shaming anybody. What's my wife called? I'm not kink shaming anybody. Whatever. You do you.
Right.
As long as you're not messing with kids or animals. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't but I'm going to be honest with you, and as the kids say, full transparency, I don't get it. I don't get why you... I can't wrap my head around it, but I'm glad those people found each other. The other stuff, though, I'm like, no. Go Punisher on. Go Frank Castle on them. They're done. They're done.
I agree. I agree 100%.
And it doesn't surprise me because I remember, here's a fun fact for you folks out there. We've all seen 8 Mile. Yeah, we all love Eminem. It's a given. But remember when he had the rap battle at the Shelter? I used to go to the Shelter, and it wasn't a rap club at that time. It used to, believe it or not, it used to be a new wave industrial club before, way back in the day when I was hanging out at it. But anyway, they had the venue upstairs, St. Andrew's Hall. And if you were of note, that's where you played. If you were of lesser note, you got to play downstairs in the Shelter, in the basement, pretty much. But we went to see a punk show. Me and my ex-wife went to, and my ex-wife, for those who don't know, lovely person, but she is a little pinky out. She's a little posh spice, if you can take my meaning. But she went with me to a punk show at the Shelter, and a bunch of bands playing, and some wife was there with the lead singer of this particular band. I can't remember the name of the band, but his little toddler daughter. And she was there, and she had her little earplugs in. And my ex-wife was like, oh, I can't believe they would bring a kid to a show like this. I'm like, this isn't thrown by noir leather. What are you talking about? It's a punk show. Her dad's singing. And she goes, it's just not very safe. I'm like, that kid is the safest kid in the city right now. If anything remotely were to go down, every punk rock guy in here would go Mad Max on their ass quickly.
Yep.
And I said, you don't know this scene. I do. And that's how it is.
And people get it all twisted about anarchy too. Yeah, anarchy means one thing. Anarchy means that as well. And at least in my opinion.
I agree too. I'm telling you, and I think that's changing a little bit. Old Luigi threw anarchy into a new light. I know a lot that's of right. Nervous rich people after that, you know?
Yep. The old anarchist cookbook.
And that's the climate we live in. The big thing today, I don't know, I'm sure you've been seeing social media as much as me. Everybody's making fun of Katy Perry with her little...
The space thing.
Yeah, her little trip on the rocket. And I'm like, ladies, read the room, man. This is the country right now. Tone the celebrity bullshit down a little bit because the peasants out here aren't happy. We're about one... Yes, there's going to be a revolution, but I think it might be a French one. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah.
Chill out. Yikes. Go to a resort in Colorado somewhere and hang out for the next 6 months is what I'm saying. You might do better.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's crazy. It's a crazy world. But it doesn't surprise me that Chemical Valley Mutants would have as a, I don't want to say a theme, but that type of viewpoint, because the punks I have known and always known have mostly been from Southeast Michigan, and they were sharps and straight edge punks and shit like that. Everybody thinks punks are like just getting high and back alley. No, not the ones I knew, not the ones listening to Fugazi and shit and Minor Threat. They were not doing that shit. They were doing the opposite of that shit. Oh, where are the punks this week? Oh, they're helping out at a soup kitchen. That's the type of shit that the anarchy they'd be throwing down. They ain't popping caps in people. Unless they deserve it. Unless they deserve it, Jay. That's all I'm saying.
Unless they fucking deserve it.
Exactly. Exactly. Some of these people do. Some of these people do. Jesus Christ. Let's play another. Let's do another Chemical Valley Mutants track. We've got, what do we got next? On that, but these are all like that. Don't Feel a Thing's got that intro in it. I don't know if it's a sample or somebody singing it or whatever it is. But it's got that vibe to it when I first listened to that. You want to do that one?
Didn't Feel a Thing?
Didn't Feel a Thing.
Oh, yeah. Rock it.
Here it is, folks. Chemical Valley Mutant, Didn't Feel a Thing. We'll be right back. And there it was, folks. Awesome, awesome. In the band, they happen to have a videographer, a filmmaker extraordinaire. So, of course, it's cool videos. Of course. Jay, I wanted to ask you, these singles were playing. We have the link to the Spotify on for Chemical Valley Mutants. Are these available? Can people buy these?
Yeah, you can buy it on Bandcamp.
Nice.
ChemicalValleyMutants.bandcamp.com.
Yep, we've got the link right down below, folks. Right down below. Very cool.
It's a $10 album.
It's too cheap, Jay. I know you're punk rock and everything, but it's too cheap. You know what? It's in this economy. Folks, go buy that. A carton of eggs is going to cost you more than that. And you're going to enjoy the CD way longer than the eggs, is all I'm saying. Jesus Christ. Very cool. My hat goes off to you, Jay, because I think during the pandemic, we all learned the worth and value. Because I ran out of shit to watch on TV, to be honest with you. At the time, I'm watching The Blacklist. I'm like, yeah, Raymond Reddington sticking it to people. And they had to shut that shit down. They did the last episode animated because they couldn't work. You know what I mean? And so what did I start doing? I started watching indie film on Amazon or wherever that was out there where I could. And that entertained me for the next 2 years. Indie film, indie music. And I can't be the only one. I think everybody I knew was doing that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, all these indie filmmakers, we were all going, oh, okay, yeah, I'm an indie film. We weren't given much credence to until they saved our ass from boredom. And
yep, Tubi. Thank God for
yeah,
Tubi.
Exactly.
I love Tubi.
I do too. And you notice out of all those streaming platforms, if you watch the Super Bowl, Tubi's the only one that has can write the check and have a commercial on there. You know what I mean? I am so impressed. And people are like, yeah, but there's ads. I grew up watching ads on three channels. That's what I lived with. I don't mind an ad. An ad is great. I can go potty. I can make a sandwich. I can get a cup of coffee. Whatever. I bring on the ads. I'll tell you what's worse than ads. Subscribing to 15 different streaming things and having to pay $15 a month per each one. The whole reason I bought a Roku is so I wouldn't have to pay for cable. Now I'm paying more. It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Right. Strange. I knew it was going to happen eventually. You could feel it creeping in. Could you imagine if every movie ever was on a streaming service and you could just go and pick? I wasn't thinking multiple streaming services, but here we are.
Yeah. And the filmmakers I've known that I've had on the show and whatnot, the feedback, I don't know, because I haven't personally experienced this, but they say the money from Tubi is better than the money from Netflix. They say Amazon, you don't even know if people are watching your film for 3 months. They do it quarterly or something, some crazy shit like that. Maybe it's monthly now. But they said Tubi is great. They got ad revenue coming in. They can write checks. People watching my shit on Tubi, I'm getting paid.
And yeah, that's awesome.
I think it is. Because I'm not putting anything. I'm sure Disney pays everybody. I'm sure they do, or Universal or whatever. But I'll tell you from my experience in life, when you got to scrounge a little bit to make this shit happen, to finish the project, you got to pay for this stuff yourself. You're going to make a better project because you're forced to.
Yep.
You don't have all the shortcuts, all the easy shit. Craft services is Little Caesar's Pizza. And everybody knows that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You make better stuff. More artistic stuff, I think. It just is. It's cool. And people can say what they want. I don't know. Everybody I hear bitching about indie films also bitch about, well, Shang-Chi or however you say it had too much CGI. I'm like, yeah, it had a flying dragon. How are you supposed to do that, man? Doctor Strange is popping from universe to universe. You're going to have some CGI in there.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. And I'm like, and you're bitching about it? Come on, man. Anyhow.
When it comes to horror films, though, I do appreciate a good CGI-free film.
I do.
I do appreciate a good practical effects film. The Evil Dead 2013. That was, he tried not to use any CGI in that, all practical, and it turned out phenomenal. Yeah,
Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings. Those orcs were people. They weren't real orcs, folks. I don't know, they might have been. They looked that good, is all I'm saying. And the reality is, I didn't know anything about, because I'm not in the movie business. I watch movies, but I'm not in that business. I don't make the sausage, I just eat it. But the thing is, there was, when I first started doing the podcast, my wife, she does wedding makeup. I don't know what the term is, but she makes girls look, pretty girls look prettier. She's real good at that. And, but she loves, in a perfect world, she was watching that Face Off show on the Sci-Fi Channel or whatever, where they had the movie makeup people on there, and they, it's like a competition show, and she's watching.
Yep, I've seen it.
Yeah, she was watching that shit, and I had some of the people on the podcast. This is back when I was looking for guests. I started emailing, googled who they were, their website, and emailed them, hey, you want to come on and talk about blah blah blah. Yeah, and I met some of these people, and I started learning a little bit, not the skills on how to do it. I do not know how a blood pump works or any of that kind of stuff. But it was fascinating to me because it's really cool, man. And it looks so cool, but it looks real. And it's just really neat. I loved it. So I'm with you, man. I like a good practical. And sometimes with dated films and effects, a good example, Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. When he's looking in the mirror and he's messed with his eye and you can tell that somebody made that bust or whatever, or animatron, whatever you call it. But you know what? The scene is so good and the story is so good, you don't notice it, really. At least I don't. On a rewatch,
I agree.
Maybe. But when I saw that, when it came out, I didn't notice that shit at all.
It looked cool.
Yeah. Same with Alien. Jesus Christ, that was a scary thing.
I love Aliens. Those movies are cool.
Yeah, they're fun.
Oh. I liked Romulus. The newest one was good.
I'm telling you, that was it last year or the year before? Me and my dog have watched the show, the Predator Prey movie, about 900 million times. You got to understand, I'm Native American, and that was a Native American movie.
Yes,
and
it was.
Predator, and I think I've watched that movie more than I've watched Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse. And that was my go-to. If I'm flipping and that was on, I'm watching it.
That is a good one, Prey.
But oh yeah, my wife walked through the room, fucking Prey again, really? Really? What's going to happen? I'm like, yeah, I know. But yeah, we're watching it. Yeah, the dog's looking at me. I think we'd be okay. I think we could take this Predator on here, Papa. I think we'd be okay. I don't know, Mei Ling, I don't know. Everybody in my neighborhood makes fun of my dog because we have a Chinese Shar-Pei, the ones with the wrinkles and stuff. And she loves wearing her little kerchiefs. And so I bought her a bunch, and they're all Native American prints. So whenever I walk her, they're like, there he is with his Chinese Indian dog there with her. No. Yeah, we're the weirdos on the block. Anyway.
Excellent. Love it.
Have we done three or we've done two? I lose track.
We did two. We got to do one more track.
Yep. No, we've got Left-Hand Path. We've got Failed Dimension. What should we go with?
Let's do a Failed Dimension track.
Or hold on. I just saw it. I'm just seeing it now. We also have Port Huron Whore.
Oh, throw on Port Huron Whore.
Okay. I figured. Here it is, folks. We're going to play it. And we're definitely going to talk about it. This is Chemical Valley Mutants, Port Huron Whore.
Back up, no one cares.
the tale of the Port Huron whore? Couple questions.
It's not.
Today.
It's not about anybody in particular. No. You're going to ask that.
That was my second question. My first question was, there's only one? I'm kidding. Uh-huh. Don't send me emails, people. Port Huron's
fuck
a very
no,
nice...
there ain't. No, sir.
Oh, man.
One. That's like them saying, oh, all the meth is gone in Port Huron?
I dated a girl from Port Huron years ago, and she came to visit me. She didn't tell me. I was living down in Detroit. She didn't tell me she was coming, and she had baked me a pie. It was the first time in my life I had a gal bake me a pie, I don't know what kind of, it was either apple or something, and she showed up with it. Now, I had never said we were exclusive, and she didn't let me know she was coming. There happened to be somebody else at my house at the same time. And she left, and she threw the pie at my door, smashed it on my door. And I might have thought, she's just a Port Huron whore. I got to clean this up now.
Oh, yeah.
At least just left the pie.
Should have put something in the song about a pie.
I'm telling you. That was the fraternity I wanted to join in college. I ate a pie. I'm kidding. Don't send me emails, people. Don't send me emails. Anyhow. No, I'm from Detroit.
History.
Detroit guys don't do that. That's a whole other joke. Anyway. Crazy. It's a fun band. It's a cool band. It's hardcore punk. That's got to be fun to make, to be in a band like that. Or you just get to let loose a little bit.
Yeah, it's different from being in a just straight metal band like No Class Assassins was. More precise, more take time to write, more intricate songs. And with the hardcore punk, it's just, I love that. That's what I was wanting after all the metalness.
I'm telling you. I used to be friends with this hardcore guy in Detroit. His name was Daryl. And he had bought at a police auction an old, it had to be from the 80s or the 70s because it had that black and white paint job, an old cop car. And that's what he drove around. And it had the light, which was good for him because his day job, he, like being a hardcore punk's a night job. But he delivered pizzas for a living. That's how he made his money. And he would use that light to, he would pull up to make sure it was the right address. And the people inside, I'm sure, were thinking the cops were outside or something. But it was that old school.
Was it a Buick LeSabre?
I think it was before that. It wasn't the 80s. There was no curvature. It was like a 70s angled boxy car, I remember.
Boxy car, like a Grand Fury or something.
Something. Yeah, it was
awful.
No suspension. It was at the end. They don't just auction off the nice new shit. They're like, maybe we can get something for it. Put it in the auction. That was a cool thing in Detroit. Once a year, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to. I owned a coffee shop in Dearborn, Michigan. It's my first straight business. And the thing that would annoy me is teenagers would come in and get one cup of coffee and sit there for hours on end and hang out. And they would nurse that one cup of coffee or whatever, and I wasn't making any money. And so every year they had the Detroit yard sale, they called it. The City Detroit yard sale. And you'd go down there and you could buy all kinds of surplus shit they had. And I bought eight of them of parking meters, and I cut them down and bolted them to each table. You can sit here as long as you want, but you got to feed the meter.
Oh, that's clever as hell, dude. Yeah. Props to you on that one, good sir.
I'm telling you.
Here.
That was a terrible business. We were going to call it, I wanted to call it Metropolis and have different levels. It was all nice up top and the workers and gears and shit were down below. Punk scene. They wouldn't go for that. So then we went with a Twilight Zone theme. Because at the time, before Starbucks and everything, every coffee shop had a theme. Like our competition was an Alice in Wonderland place. When I stole away the main coffee brewer there. And we had a Twilight Zone. It was called The Zone. And it was an old abandoned bar that we rented. But it was set up for that type of thing. And on the bar top, I wanted to make a maze and then put plexiglass and have mice going through the maze. And the health department was like, no, you can't have live mice on your bar top. You know, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm 20 years old. I'm full of ideas. That's what's wrong with me. Not all of them are good. Yeah.
Reminds me of the Family Guy episode with the Cat Cafe.
Yeah, I tell you, it wasn't a week later I got the cease and desist from, I think it was Universal. I can't remember who it was. It was some Hollywood studio that owned all the rights to the Twilight Zone and said, you can't just start a business and call it the Twilight Zone Cafe or whatever. You know, what the hell's wrong with you? Change the name, buddy. So we did.
Damn, that reminds me of a flyer fiasco. I remember I used a flyer for one of my older band's shows, and it was some, I had used a picture that was non-commercial, we'll put it that way. And then everyone was pissed off when I wanted to cancel it because of the bad karma.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I was at the grocery store the other day, and I saw a mobile dog grooming van. And that's fine. That's a great business. But you don't want to wash your dog, they come to your house, and then they wash it in the van. You know what I mean? Fantastic. Totally respect it. The problem was it was all in Disney font, and it was like had Disney characters painted on the van and shit, Pluto and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're in Florida. You can't, don't fuck with Disney. Are you? It's like messing with the mafia or something.
Right.
You're just begging for it. Are you? And they ain't going to lose.
No.
It's crazy. Let's play the trailer because I'm just, my little light's blinking at me. I know we're going longer. I told Jay, here's the thing. When you come on my show, folks, I always make the joke. Oh, everybody wanted me to do video like Joe Rogan. I'm not Joe Rogan. I tell all of our guests, how long is it going to take, Jamie? I don't know, 40 minutes or so. Here we are, an hour and a half in, just because I have fascinating people on my show. That's the problem. I need to get dullards on the show.
Dullards.
Exactly. That aren't fun to talk to. And then the shows would go quick. Then they would go quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 6-second talk show.
Exactly. There's probably somebody. I don't know how to do this shit. I'm totally being honest with you, Jay. You know that you're supposed to write a script. I ain't writing a fucking script. Are you kidding me? That's for these filmmakers. They know how to do that.
For my podcasts, I always wrote an outline.
I need to start doing that, I think. It's probably not a bad idea. It's probably a very good idea. The audience is finally. Thank you. Yes, Jamie. We are so sick of your tangents and story. Oh, my God. It's like talking to an old man. Here we are in another one. Here is the video or the video trailer, folks, for Lilith. This is a cool, I haven't seen the movie. This looks like a cool movie.
Now, comes out in October.
It is. And you guys have picked up a distributor and whatnot for? Are you in self-distribution or?
Self.
Nice.
Self. I'm going to have a screening, I think, October 25th in Port Huron. And then I'll release it, do a general release. And then I'll probably have some more showing somewhere. And then
that'll be that. And we'll see how it goes. I'm thinking to myself, maybe come about January, Jay's going to be sick of snow and ice. And even though he loves winter, he'll be sick of brushing off his car, scraping his windshield. We can get him down here to Florida. We can play the movie. Now, but I don't want to do it public because I don't want everybody knowing where I live. Maybe we'll just have a select group of weirdos. Or I don't know. I got to think about it. But I'll get Jay down here somewhere. Maybe we get one of those blow-up things. Do it on the beach, you know what I mean?
That would be crazy, watching a fucked-up movie on the beach in Florida.
That's what I'm saying. I think our beach needs a little more crazy. That's my opinion.
I passed out on a beach in Florida once and slept for a little while after consuming too many beverages.
I'm telling you, about once a month, the big news story down here, which I don't understand. I don't know if I lived in Detroit too long. I don't get it. Somebody will find a key of a cartel key, let's just put it that way, that has washed up on the beach. And the first thing they do is call and turn it in.
Like, not this kind of key.
No.
No.
Life-changing $100,000 key.
That Bobcat Goldthwait and Johnny Depp scene.
Exactly. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're supposed to turn it in. I've known a lot of people. I have been a lot of people that would have made a different choice. I will put it that way. You know how many art shows that could fund? I could parlay that into some funding. You know how many indie films that could be made with that? Happens once.
We're just going to welcome to my show, Flip a Key.
Flip a Key, that's right. Anyway, tangents. I'm so sorry, folks. Here it is. Here's the trailer for Lilith. We're back. There it is. Don't you want to see that film now, folks? Don't you want to? Just from the cool trailer. Jesus Christ. Jay, I got to ask. You have answered this before. Certain mushrooms and herbs and whatnot might have led to that waterfall of creativity of Lilith. I don't know. Yeah. I watched that trailer and I'm like, I've met that woman before. Not the actor, but just the idea of her that I'm picking up. She might have lived in Port Huron. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I like
the actress
eye.
Does.
I like her. The eye looked like it was missing. I'm like, what is that? Walter Goggins and Fallout? That's pretty cool how they're doing this. But I don't think they had the budget for that. I don't know how they did it, but it looked good. It looked good.
I've heard people compare Green Hell to movies like Spun and Clerks. But Green Hell had I'm really influenced by 80s and 70s, 60s. But the 80s aesthetic of the VCR tape, the VHS tape, the whole aesthetic intrigues me. That's why at the same time I feel like Jonas Åkerlund was too, from Bathory, the Swedish black metal band. Mm. But he also did Lords of Chaos. He did Spun. He did a whole bunch of music videos for artists like Duran, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just a lot of crazy music videos and a lot of different techniques and effects and flashes and glitches and stuff like that and reverse and just a lot of experimental stuff. And that's what I'm about. And
absolutely.
I tried to put it to the max with Lilith here.
And
so I hope people dig it.
I'm telling you, I want to see the film so bad because I watched the trailer and it's interesting. And I'm not saying that as a slight. I'm saying that is, I want to see the film watching the trailer. It interests me, but it also tickles my, and I admit it, I own it. People are like, yeah, Jamie, we see your blog every fucking morning. You get a little bit far afield on the art stuff. We be glad you're not married to me. I've watched my wife's eyes roll back in her head so many times when I'm talking about the post-impressionistic scene in 1790s, or sorry, how could I make that mistake? 1890s Belgium, you know what I mean? I get a little, I'm into that, but
she rolls her eyes so much, she's like a female Undertaker.
I'm telling you, it's true. We've got a good enough marriage where she's, okay, Picasso, you need to reel it back in a little. That was my dad. When my dad was alive, that was his big thing to me. When I went away to college, got my degree and everything, we'd hang out afterwards. And every so often, I'd get a little into it. He would always, that show Frasier, he would always say,
yep,
reel it in there, Frasier Crane. Reel it in. You're talking to a working person. And
yeah, Niles.
Yeah, he just gets a bit.
His brother.
Large. And that was his big joke. I laugh about it now. I didn't always. But anyhow, yeah, she gets that way a little bit with me. She's settled down now. But no, it's a cool trailer.
Thank
like I said,
you.
I could see it being played at art festivals. And so, you know, you could see that on a loop at Art Basel or something. Projected onto a spinning fabric cube that's 12 feet long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It lends itself to that type of imagery in it. But at the same time, that doesn't turn me off either. I'm like, oh, it's interesting enough that I want to see this. It isn't just
cool.
It isn't weird
cool.
For weirdness sake. It's weird.
Right.
It's I'm weird as hell. And you want to know why. And I'm like, yes, I do. Jay, what that tells me is you're real good at what you do. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jamie.
I don't know if you ever wake
that,
up
man.
And go, yeah, I don't feel like doing it today. No, you got to, because there's at least one cat that's happy that you're doing this shit. There's got to
be. Yeah, I do have those days, that's for sure.
We all do. We got to.
Yep.
It's part of being an artist. You got to love it, even when you hate it. But it's just who you are. And that's.
Yeah.
I remember I was bitching one day about it, and my wife, I was having one of those days, and Danny, we weren't married yet, but I'll never forget. She goes, okay, well, finish this painting up. People already paid you for it, so you got to finish it. I said, okay, you're right. She goes, then I'll take you down here to Pizza Hut. We can put in an application. You can start delivering pizzas. And shook me to my core. I'm like, not because it's a shitty job or anything like that, but I worked real hard not to have a shitty job like that. And
right.
I said, I need to stop bitching and be thankful. for my.
Yep.
And yeah, I did. I'm not delivering pizza. So that's, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love when they deliver me a pizza, obviously. Hell yeah. There's an, that's the thing down here is everybody down here is from New York. So everybody, when they, you go to some party or dinner party, everybody makes those thin crust pizzas. I'm like, no, baby, I need a Detroit pizza. I want it square and I want melted cheese on the sides of it. So, and for those of you out there that don't know what I'm talking about, just look up Detroit, YouTube Detroit pizza. You'll change your life. You'll be amazed. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Anyhow, Jay, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. Keep doing, keep making music, keep making cool films, and let's stay right in touch because I definitely want to have you back on the show. You're so much fun and inspiring. Fuck. Jay's doing this shit. I got to do some shit now. That's a good thing. That's a good friend to have.
Two fun facts about this movie before we go.
Yeah.
One, I filmed it all on an Android phone.
Nice.
And two, I got a cameo from Ari Lehman.
Really?
The very first Jason Voorhees.
How cool
Friday the
13th,
19.
How cool is that? That's the movie you were talking. I thought about it, but I didn't want to mention. I was watching with my older stepsister, and on, we used to have a channel called On TV. It's before HBO and all this and that. And I don't know, my dad got a circuit board from somebody at work and brought it home and installed it in our TV, and we could then watch On TV. And we watched that Friday the 13th, and I was a little kid. I got scared. I was sitting in my sister's lap maybe halfway through that movie. That was the one that's the Halloween for you, you know what I mean? That was my equivalent for that.
Oh, yeah. I love the Friday the 13th franchise for sure.
Wow, it's
classics.
Great. And it's just, that's the cool thing about a horror movie. A horror movie doesn't have to be Citizen Kane to be effective. It's cool when they are. It's cool when they are. Silence of the Lamb, fantastic film. Fantastic film.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're looking for gore, the first 15 minutes of Saving Private Ryan will not disappoint you. That's true horror. But if you're looking for fun and maybe a smooch from your gal, the 1982 Poltergeist is your friend. When that tree ate that kid, Jesus Christ.
When the guy peels his face off in the bathroom
mirror. Yeah, oh, that was all practical. Yeah.
Eat my ass.
I'm telling you. They didn't care in those days. The first airplane comedy was PG. I'm like.
I know. There was some controversial shit in that movie.
Oh, she's giving the autopilot a. Anyhow. It was funny. But it wasn't PG, I'll tell you that. But a lot of it, and I'm glad to see that people are putting, like you, creators, filmmakers today, are putting thought into that. Because these types of movies are so much fun. And they should be. They're needed. I'm telling you, folks, it's a good pressure relief valve for society. Society needs it.
Yep. 100%.
On that note, we're out of here, folks. I've kept Jay too long. He's missed his supper, probably. And sorry, Jay. Anywho.
I haven't missed it.
Anywho.
It's still there.
That's good. Yeah, mine too. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Remember, the world's weird. My advice to you, stop scrolling on Facebook every... What do the kids call it? I was just told this. I didn't know what it meant, but they explained it to me. Doom scrolling. They're like, don't you doom scroll, Jamie. Don't just... scroll through these Facebook and read how shitty the world is. Take a break every so often. And they're right. And that's my advice to everybody out there. The world's weird. Be patient with people. If it takes your waitress an extra couple minutes to bring your food to eat, don't go off. I find them personally hilarious. Don't be a Karen in a Karen video on YouTube. That's your mission, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're flying, I don't know, maybe lay off the booze before you fly. Drink when you get to where you're going. I'm not against drinking. I'm just saying, don't put yourself in a position where you're trying to fight the cops, because you ain't going to win. Ain't going to happen. Anyhow.
Hey, cab.
Be cool. We'll see you next time.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hannah Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.